In my family, I was raised with my mom and dad and two sisters. And as you can imagine, once we got to be the age of 7 or 8 through maybe 12 or 13 or 14 years old, there was always something going on in the house among the kids. We would quibble and argue and just generally make a muck of things as best we could. And oftentimes it would end up with one of us saying something to the other or calling someone a name. And obviously then you had to run to mom and tell on them. And I remember my mom to this day and the look on her face when she would point her finger at us and say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." I'm not sure that even 60-odd plus years ago that was totally true. And I know that for our young people today, it certainly is a much more difficult thing with social media and all the pressures and all the different things that can be put on there. So it indicates to us the power of words. Words are incredible. They have the power to lift up and the power to tear down, the power to inspire and the power to discourage. It's all in how we use those words, how we use that communication tool that makes all the difference in the world. But they can also cause you to stop and pause and reflect. And I've spent a lot of time this Advent season reflecting on something Father Dan said the very first week of Advent. He was talking about how in our culture we often say you get what you pay for when you're in the marketplace buying things. But he turned it around a little bit and said that during Lent and Advent, we get what we prepare for. And I found that to be so very true. Our preparations, especially in a spiritual sense, make all the difference in the world. And not only have we been preparing for the Lord to come on Christmas, I think it would be good to stop and take a look back and to see how the Lord has prepared us for his coming. In John's Gospel, we hear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything came to be through him. God, out of love, prepared this amazing world for us. And when Adam and Eve sinned and started to break that relationship, he had a plan prepared to restore it, to bring us back to full communion with him. It was a plan that was so amazing that he had to reveal it to us piece by piece, bit by bit, generation by generation, word by word in the scriptures. And finally, in the fullness of time, after Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Christ predicted it, he came to a little Galilean woman, humble, meek of heart. She was prepared by her immaculate conception to carry the Savior of the world. The angel said to her, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Mary didn't understand those words at the time, not fully, and what they would eventually entail. But she trusted that what the Lord said to her, that his words were true and would be lived out. And when she visited Elizabeth, she heard these words from her that said, "Blessed are you that believe that the words the Lord spoke to you would be fulfilled." So we continued to be prepared, and it was God's plan, because we also hear in John's Gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life. And that's what this season portends. These preparations that we make during Advent for Christmas are the bookends of two events that are really tied together so closely that one couldn't be without the other. Advent and the coming of our Lord into the world among us as one of us, and at Easter with his passion, death, and resurrection. You can't separate those two events. Without Christmas, there is no Easter. Without Easter, there's no Christmas. And so these words echo to us today as we continue to make our preparations. And the challenge to us is, how do we use our words in this day and age as we prepare? Do we succumb sometimes to the secular greetings around us and say Happy Holidays? Or do we say Merry Christmas? Because after all, Jesus is the reason for the season. We all know that. And it's not unlike Lent, as I mentioned, these preparations that we make, these spiritual preparations, are equally as important as all the things we do to get ready for gatherings of friends and family. The spiritual preparation can help make those gatherings even sweeter and even more important and more valuable to us. Now, I'm not saying that spending time preparing for all these gatherings is a bad thing, not at all. But it's a matter of keeping everything in perspective. It's a matter of understanding what the season is about, why we celebrate, and why we do what we do. The last couple of years, the Lord's asked me to deliver a message to you, and he didn't ask me to do that this year, but I do want to bring up that same point because I think it's so very important. Many people find it difficult to celebrate the holidays. They could be going through the loss of a loved one, maybe losing their job, a broken relationship, or any number of other things that happen to us, a serious illness even perhaps. And they find it very hard to celebrate. So what I would ask you to do, my brothers and sisters, is to use your words in one more way. Use your words to reach out during this Christmas season to someone who is hurting or suffering. Let them know that they are not alone. Let them know that they are still loved, that they are still thought of, and that Christmas is still for them too, regardless of the difficulty they face. Our words are very powerful, and to let people know that they're still in our hearts and in our minds could possibly be the best Christmas gift you could ever give them. And on behalf of the entire parish, I want to offer you the best. I know many of you will be traveling over the holidays. And as they say out at the migrant camp, I wish you vaya con Dios, go with God. Travel safely, enjoy these holidays, and Merry Christmas.